Pope Benedict XVI is on his way back to Rome this evening after concluding a three-day apostolic visit to Cyprus. This morning, at the end of Mass at the Nicosia Sports Centre, the Holy Father handed the Instrumentum Laboris, or working document for the October Synod of Churches in the Middle East, to the leaders of the Christian communities in that region. And this afternoon, the Pope visited the Maronite Cathedral of Our Lady of Graces in Nicosia before departing from Larnaca International Airport. Well, Charles Collins, who is in Cyprus, has been following events for us and joins us live on the line. Charles, was this a successful trip?
Yes, Lydia, it was a very successful trip. I was speaking to some of the non-Catholic journalists working for secular outlets in the press room, and they thought it went surprisingly well because there had been some concerns that ultra-Orthodox protesters would try to disrupt the Pope's activities today, but that didn't really come to anything. There were a few people holding up signs outside the sports center that was hosting this morning's Mass, and they were complaining about the leader of the Catholic Church coming to a predominantly Orthodox country. But when some of the journalists questioned them, they were told, well, you know, they didn't mind the Pope as a human being. They liked him, but they just didn't like him being Catholic. So as protests went, it was very small, and it seemed a little bit half-hearted, to tell you the truth. In fact, the relationship between the Catholic and Orthodox Church seems to have taken a step forward during this trip, not on a theological level, probably, but on the level of relationship, which is a term that the Pope has been using a lot during this trip. The Pope was warmly welcomed both at the ecumenical service on Friday and when he visited the Orthodox Archbishop of Cyprus yesterday. He also got to see some of the Christian history of the island when he was given a tour of the Museum of the Icons at the Archbishop's residence. Probably the most difficult part of the trip was kind of wading into the political situation on the island. The Pope himself was staying in the UN-controlled buffer zone, which divides the island into Greek and Turkish zones. Just a little over an hour ago when he was leaving at the airport, he spoke about what effect this had on him.
I have seen for myself something of the subdivision of the island, as well as learning of the loss of a significant part of cultural heritage which belongs to all humanity. I have also listened to Cypriots from the north who wish to return in peace to their homes and places of worship, and I have been deeply moved by their pleas.
The Pope said that truth and reconciliation, together with respect, are the surest foundation for the united and peaceful future of Cyprus, and for the stability and prosperity for all of her people. Lydia?
Charles, what do you think was the most memorable part of the visit?
Well, there are really just two things that stick out for me. The first was yesterday, when Pope Benedict briefly met with the 88-year-old Sufi Muslim Sheikh Mohammed Nazim. It was the sight of these two old men, and they remarked on their age, in fact, exchanging gifts and a heartfelt embrace. And it was probably one of the most touching moments of the trip, as it occurred right as the Pope was going into Mass right outside of his compound where he was staying at the Apostolic Nunciature. And this meeting was not originally on the schedule, and Nazim had traveled to the buffer zone from the Turkish-controlled side of Nicosia, and it was just another demonstration of the sad division of the island. The other thing that sticks out was another embrace, and that one happened this morning at Mass. The Orthodox Archbishop of Cyprus, Chrysostomus II, who was attending the Mass as an observer, came up and gave the Pope a fraternal embrace during the sign of peace. Now, that might not seem like a very big deal, but if you travel through Cyprus, as I have these last few days, and you visit Orthodox churches here, there's still a lot with artwork, you know, all over the walls and just... In the churches themselves, this artwork showing Catholic clergy falling into the mouth of the beast in the inferno. There's a lot of bad feelings from when the Venetians and the Frankish kings ruled Cyprus hundreds of years ago, and there's a lot of that painful memory still going on this island. I said earlier, there was also some protest to the visit within the Orthodox community, and this embrace seemed to put that behind us at least a little bit, and I thought that was very significant. Lydia?
Great. Thank you, Charles. Charles Collins there reporting for us from Cyprus. Well, as you heard this morning, the Holy Father presented the Instrumentum Laboris, or working document, for the October Synod for Churches in the Middle East. Charles Collins spoke to Franciscan Father David Maria Jaeger, Delegate of the Custody of the Holy Land, about the upcoming meeting.
It is a tremendous opportunity for the Church throughout the Middle East to be together, to compare notes, as it were, to find the commonalities, to distinguish the differences, and to plan for the future of Christian witness in the region where Christianity was born. I personally would like to see it in continuity with the courageous vision of Pope John Paul II in his speech to a juridical conference in Rome on the 11th of December 1993, when he foresaw a very different future for the Church in the Eastern Mediterranean, one of freedom, a coming of age, a passage from the centuries of being a protected, though isolated, minority into a future where Christians are equal citizens. The Cyprus, the island of Cyprus, is a uniquely privileged place for both the papal visit and as a symbolic launching pad for the synod, because it is where Europe and the Middle East meet.